One thing that I hear from gym owners all the time is, I want to change my business. I want to improve my gym, but I don't know where to start. Well, we listened to that, so we created The Hub. The Hub is basically an online MBA in owning a gym. There are courses, there are templates, there are free stock images, t-shirt designs. Everything that you need to run a gym is in there. Not only did we create all these courses and templates, but we also have created a curriculum, almost like a syllabus, as if you were in a college course. So over the next 3 months, the syllabus that we have created is all about marketing your gym and getting new leads in the door. So for the month of May, our focus is on creating a marketing strategy. In June, our focus will be content marketing. And then in July, we're going to wrap it all up, put those things together, and teach you how to create paid marketing campaigns, both on social media, Google pay-per-click, and everything that you need to generate some more leads for your gym. If you're interested in just checking it out, there's a 7-day free trial, 321goproject.com/hub. This week on the podcast, we're joined by Chris Marhefka and Wade Swikel. Wade and Chris are co-hosts of the Attain Anything podcast. You can go to attainanything.com and learn a little bit more about them. Chris is actually one of our mastermind, our M3 mastermind group leaders. He is the owner and founder of B3 Gym in Gainesville, Florida. He is the co-founder of Eat the 80, a healthy meal delivery company. And Wade is the founder of Moving Solutions. He employs over 60 people in Gainesville and Tampa. And both of these guys are rock star entrepreneurs. We ask the question, and these guys on their podcast every week ask the same question: is entrepreneurship genetic, or can entrepreneurship be learned? So these are some of the things that we explore in today's episode. Again, find these guys on the Attain Anything podcast, attainanything.com. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you next week. All right, and we are back with week two with Wade Swikel and Chris Marhefka. If you didn't catch last week's episode, stop this right now. Go back and listen to it. We set the stage for a lot of the things that we're going to talk about this week. Specifically last week, we talked about entrepreneurship, both the emotional toll of entrepreneurship, what it looks like to be, what is the difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner. And then we kind of wrapped up last week. We buttoned it up with some suggestions. If you find yourself frustrated with this journey of entrepreneurship, just some action items that you can take, both shift in perspective and things that you can do to change, kind of change your mindset. So if you didn't, as a reminder, Wade and Chris are the co-hosts of the Attain Anything podcast, attainanything.com. They're on iTunes, all the other podcast directories. Wade Swikel is the founder of Smarter Moving Solutions, LLC in Gainesville, Florida, and Tampa, Florida. And Chris is the founder of B3 Gym in Gainesville and co-founder of Eat the 80, which is a healthy meal delivery company. I want to jump right into our conversation this week, fellas. When I first talked with you, I was on the Attain Anything podcast, and I've interviewed and done a lot of interviews with people, and I get a feeling immediately when somebody can kind of dive into a conversation that person has done a lot of self-development or has an incredible amount of self-awareness. And I felt this immediately with both of you when we started having a conversation. And I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'll have conversations and I just know. It's just a feeling I have, like this person has spent time developing their understanding of themselves. Last week, Wade, you had talked about taking a strengths assessment, which I think is a valuable thing to understand where you are. But I feel like this is something even deeper than doing a strengths assessment. So I want to start off our discussion this way. What are some things that you consciously do to increase your level of self-awareness and just develop yourself as a person, not only as a business owner and entrepreneur, but like develop that person and that understanding of yourself. So Wade, to you first, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it comes down to basically just being healthy, doing things that put me in a position to be as capable as possible to make good decisions. Whether that's doing fitness, whether that's trying to stay active, doing things for fun that are active, trying not to do things that are self-destructive, not eating foods that are going to slow me down. I've been practicing this for a while now, is I try to eat meals within a 6 to 8 hour window each day, because it keeps me, that's how I know I'm the most energetic in the morning. And that allows me to set the tone for the day if I'm energetic in the morning and have a clear thought process in the morning. So I think, you know, fundamentally, just being healthy and making sure that I can have as much energy as possible, because it takes a lot of energy to take actions and to, you know, even if it's just actions on learning, on self-development or whatever the case may be. The second thing is I just build self-development type stuff into my daily routine. I mean, one of the most valuable investments I've ever made was having an aux cord installed in my car so that I could download an Audible audiobooks while I'm driving. And in Tampa, my commute's about 40 minutes each way each day. So as you can imagine, I can burn through quite a bit of audiobooks. And they say the average CEO in America reads like 65 books a year. And if you don't have necessarily time to read that many books, you can usually get close to that many books just by listening to them in your car or listening to podcasts in your car if you don't have an audiobook or don't have a subscription to a program like that. So that's helped me a lot. The third thing, and this was actually my New Year's resolution this year, was to write down my goals each and every day. It could be goals that I want to accomplish that day, could be goals that I'm looking to accomplish over the next 5 years. But regardless, my daily goal is to write down my goals each and every day. So that definitely helps me keep what I want and what I'm trying to attain front of mind. And it also basically just helps me clear my head. Just writing in general is very therapeutic to me. I understand it may not be for everybody, but when I can write something out and get my thoughts in order, I tend to be able to make better decisions. And the final thing is just surrounding yourself with exceptional people. I think you've probably heard this. Anybody who's done any self-development has probably heard you're the five people you hang out with the most. And I don't think that couldn't be farther from the truth, whether it's your family, whether it's your significant other, whether it's just your friends or the people that you work with. Whoever the five people that you spend the most time with is ultimately going to be what makes up your daily habits. And I think it's really important to strategically position yourself with people that whose values align with your own values and who are also trying to achieve similar things that you're trying to achieve. So that's I hope answers your question, Matt.
That's a great point. What I love about that is the idea that, you know, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. I also like the idea of being around people that I feel like they're kind of slightly out of my league, if that makes sense. You know, just like being around people where you're almost kind of nervous to be around them, be like, man, like this guy or gal really has their stuff together. To me, I think that feeling. So do you guys have people like that, you know, that are just kind of like, ooh, they're just a little bit more successful than me? You know, it's not like I'm hanging out. It's not like you're hanging out with Mark Cuban, where it's like the statistical likelihood of my life ever looking like that is zero. But like hanging out with people that are like, woo, I can feel, like, you know what I mean? Just being able to feel that within reach. Do you guys have people like that in your lives?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the reason we do our podcast, is to be able to talk to people such as yourself, Matt, that are very successful, very established, and be able to reach out to those people that are whether it's slightly out of our league or very much out of our league. You know, I think the podcast helps us do a concentrated effort to doing that.
Cool. Chris, to you, I want to ask you, what role does self-development play in your life? Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I want you to just let me know what that looks like for you.
Yeah, for sure. And Wade hit on a lot of good points that I'll just build on a little bit. But what he said is very true. And I've made self-development like key in everything that I do. I mean, I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly studying. both in the real world by doing those gym visits like we talked about and seeing opportunities everywhere, but also in books with mentors, with masterminds. I personally, I cannot get enough learning. It's actually one of my three guiding principles is to be a better person than I was yesterday. And so by nature, that is what I try to do every day. The last thing that I'll really say is something I've been quoted as saying, missed, is that the most important 1 hour of your life is the 1 hour when you decide what you will do with your life. Meaning that very few people ever take the time to think about what they want to achieve, what they want to do, what impact do they want to make. They never really put it down on paper in words unless they're forced to. And so that's a practice that I started, I want to say it was about 9 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. And I used to do it annually. Now I do it even quarterly, where I go through and I do it as a process of my goal setting process. But it's in my journal, and I'm putting into words exactly what I want to do with my life. And we call that a vision. We call that guiding principles, core values, mission, all those things. You can call it whatever you want. But the truth is that if you're getting up out of bed every day and you don't know why, this is exactly what you need to start with. You need to start with, why am I even doing what I'm doing? Because you will never live a fulfilled life. Take financial success, take all these other material measures out of it. You will never be fulfilled unless you have identified what you want to do and you're living the life that goes along with that, in line with that. That is absolutely the only way to be truly happy, truly fulfilled. That's what I believe. And I think that time needs to be taken once, but generally more often that once you do it, you recognize that, wow, I have a lot I need to dig into and wow, I have a lot that I need to pay attention to that I never saw before. And it really starts with an hour of quiet time. And I have a guided practice that I go through. But I truly believe you should not be setting goals until you first do the big picture stuff first. That's the reason why I think a lot of people are unsuccessful in their goals, is because they're not the goals that they should have been going after in the first place. So figure out what it is, and then your goals are really just your strategies to get there. And I'm hugely passionate about this, because I think every moment that you spend going in a direction that is not what you truly intend is a moment wasted. And so first figure out, take as many moments as it takes to figure out what that thing is. And then everything after that, just hone in on getting there, no matter what.
One thing that I picked up on what you said, Chris, and oh gosh, it's been maybe 4 years ago that somebody said this to me, is to just kind of ask, what do you want out of something? And then once you define, like, what do I want out of this, sort of ask yourself, okay, well, why can't I do that right now? And mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me, so my wife and I do this thing. My wife and I travel quite a bit. And every time we go travel, our favorite thing to do is we'll rent some type of motorized, like a motorcycle, a little scooter, a four-wheeler, whatever it is, and we'll go get lost. And we'll have lunch. Like, wherever we get lost, we'll find a restaurant and have lunch. That was like our favorite thing to do ever. And we were recently just in China when we did that. And we were talking it's a very long flight back. And we were kind of talking. And, you know, and she says to me, she goes, man, that would be just really fun. We always have a Saturday or Sunday to kill. It would be really fun if we could do that when we're back home. And I was like, yeah, why can't we do that? And so we got back home, and I just was stuck with this idea of, this is one of our favorite things to do. Why can we not do this every week? What is it? And I realized it was just this fictitious barrier to me. And so I was like, well, hell, all right. Tomorrow I'll go spend $1,000, which is a relatively small sum of money for something that you're going to love doing every week. I was like, all right. Let's just go buy something. We'll go buy a scooter and we'll have it and we'll do it every weekend. It's our favorite thing to do. And for some reason, there's just this idea of, why can't I go do that thing? And like you said, Chris, just asking yourself, this is what I want, and then ask yourself, what is stopping me from doing this?
And what you realize is that once you establish what those priorities are, you literally can do anything. I think people just work hard because they know they want to work hard, and they just like do what's in front of them because it's in front of them. But the truth is, like, unless you really decide, like, life is going to decide for you. Something's going to happen. You're going to do something. And so, like, the same scenario with your wife is you guys probably find things to do on that Saturday, and they might be fun. But now that you've truly identified this is the best possible way we can spend our Saturday, now you're doing it, and you're probably so much more fulfilled by doing it. We had such a similar experience. My wife and I honeymooned in New Zealand, and the best time that we had was the time when we were in a camper van and we just got lost and we just were off the grid. And I think there's just something that is initially uncomfortable about that, because you're like, oh, I'm not gonna, like, I don't know how I'm gonna get my emails and my phone doesn't work. And like, I don't know what the structure is. And I think in a lot of ways you can relate that to self-reflection, is that it's really uncomfortable because you have to get somewhere that you're not used to being. But in the end, it ends up being some of the most beneficial time that you spend, and you learn so much in that moment, and it becomes so enjoyable that you actually like seek it out more often. And so just kind of tied two stories and two themes together, but I think it's so valuable what you said there.
This idea of why not do that? Just go do that thing.
Why not?
So you both hit on something, and Wade, I want to ask you, because you sort of hinted at it as well with your New Year's resolution, and that is this idea of rituals. I've also called these anchor points in the past, where it's no matter what, at this time, on this day, I do this thing, and it is sort of the anchor point around which all of the chaos of entrepreneurship can live. So my question to you, Wade, is do you have any rituals or anchor points that you find beneficial for sort of the rest of your day, rest of your week or year?
Yeah. I mean, I would say just getting a good start in the morning. I try and set my alarm between 5 and 6 AM depending on the day. And, basically going from there, I try and while I'm fresh, you know, I'd say probably my number one anchor point is, drinking a big cup of coffee, preferably with butter and, coconut oil in it. But outside of that, that's when I, you know, I get the creative juices flowing. That's when I start to plan my day, and I start to I sit down with a pencil and paper and say, okay, this is what I want to achieve. Like, whether it's today, whether it's this week, whether it's this month, whether it's this year, whatever the case may be, this is what I want to get done. And this is where I have like my brainstorming session. And what I've found is if I can make a list of things to do for the rest of the day during that 30 to 45 minutes where I have all the juices flowing, then even if I get tired at some point later in the day, all I have to do is go to my list and see what's next. And, you know, sometimes I'll be driving and I'll think of something and I'll add it on my list as like 5.5. If it's something that needs to fit in between number five and number six on my list, I'll write 5.5. But that takes so much out of my, I guess, energy sucking abilities throughout the day, because I just go list item by list item by list item. No matter how I'm feeling that day, I know what I have to do next. And that all stems from that moment of inspiration, that moment of motivation, first thing in the morning, usually between 6 and 7 AM, sometimes a little bit later, but just depending on the day. And to me, I guess that's my anchor point. And it guides my day. It's my compass for my day. And like I said before, it takes no energy to have to make those decisions. I think what happens with a lot of people is they get to 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're already mentally drained by that point, or maybe they had a big lunch and they're sleepy or whatever the case may be. And then they just shut off. They just lose all of their productivity at that point. They go on Facebook, they get sucked into emails, just because it's the path of least resistance. And they don't have those mental juices flowing to say, what is the most important thing I can be doing right now? But if you just make a simple effort to plan those things out at whatever point in the day that you feel the most energized. I know Chris is more of a night person. Maybe it would be, you know, at 10 o'clock at night for him to make that list for the next day. But just trying to use as little brain power to just continuously stay moving. Kind of like how a CrossFit workout, you know, you see exactly what the workout is before you get all exhausted in the middle of the workout, and you just want to keep moving and going down that list and knocking out those burpees or whatever the case may be. Same thing applies to work, in my opinion.
What I loved about that, and it sort of echoes a sentiment that Chris said, is if you don't make a concerted effort to direct your day or direct your life, life will happen to you. So this practice of, I'm going to prioritize things at the point of maximal clarity, so that when things become unclear, because undoubtedly, Chris, I don't know if it's like this for you, or I'm sure Wade, you employ a ton of people as well, that it's, you can't really be in your business. Like, all right, here's an example. Right now I'm sitting in my office and the bathroom is at the complete opposite corner of the building. And it's, you know, it's about a 70-yard walk to the bathroom. I cannot make that walk without having like 10 people have a question or need something out of me. And if I didn't have that like point of clarity where I was able to write things down, by the time I went pee and came back, everything's out of my mind. Like, I have no idea what the hell I was doing. So this, I love that way, what you're talking about, understanding yourself and knowing, all right, when am I at my maximal level of clarity? I'll prioritize during that time. So then after lunch, I'm a little bit more squared away between the ears. Chris, same question to you. Rituals, anchor points, things that you do every day that you find to help provide clarity for you.
Yeah, Wade's probably the better person to talk to about this because he's the early riser. He hit the nail on the head. I'm most creative, most productive at night. So when it comes to getting work done, time really doesn't mean anything to me because I can get up early, but I can also stay up late. What I do that I think a lot of people, owners that I mentor or coach and work with or talk to, is that I structure every day. I am a huge calendar person. I use just Google Calendar, and every moment of my day is structured. And it sounds crazy to a lot of people, but like I program sleep, I program travel time, I program eating, I program spending time with my wife and my dogs. It seems a little crazy, but what it allows me to do is it allows me to prioritize. And so when I look at my calendar and I look at my week and my days, and I see that there's things on there that don't fall with my goals and my strategies, and I can clear them, or I can put something that's more important there. And the same thing goes when things come up. You know what you can push off, what you can prioritize. And so it gives me a strong amount of control, and it eliminates all decision-making from my day. So in putting things that get me closer to my goals. Like for instance, like writing or creating content is something that we both know is so easy to push off, do it another day, do it later. But when we commit to doing it on a regular basis, something that has to get done. And so I put that on there as opposed to getting lost in the interwebs for an hour. I'm focusing on at 11 a.m., boom, I have to start content. I have to be done by noon because I have this appointment coming up. So look at the rest of my week. There's no time to fit it in, so you have to do it now. So for me, it removes all decisions. And it's the same thing goes for like sleep. It's like, hey, I've got that 7 a.m. meeting tomorrow morning, so if you don't get to bed by midnight, like no 7 hours, sorry, it's just science. So very structured, and that kind of guides all of my days. As far as anchor point, I've really identified more and more recently that my workout, my daily workout, anchors me from day to day. It seems crazy, but if I don't do something active, I feel like that day wasn't complete. And for me, it's different every day. I do yoga. I go for runs. Yesterday, I just did a quick interval on the assault bike. It could be a CrossFit workout, could be lifting. But without that activity, it just, things feel like I didn't finish the day. And so, that would be my thing. I mean, I can go a whole day without eating, but going a day without doing something active feels weird to me.
I want to, okay. I want to cover two things very quickly, and then I want to wrap up the show coming back to this anchor point idea. So let's start here. You both are voracious readers, and you know, Wade, you talked about top CEOs, you know, read on average 65 books a year. Chris, I know you've done a challenge where you've read 52 books in a year,
and then
100 books. Yeah. So let's start off this way. I'm going to cap you guys at 2 books. So Wade, I'm going to start with you. You're only allowed 2 books that have had the greatest influence on you. So if an entrepreneur could read 1 or 2 books, what are those 1 or 2 that you choose?
Wow. This is a tough one. I'm going to go ahead and say this first one, because it was one of the first books that I read that kind of shifted my whole entire mindset on entrepreneurship and business ownership, and that's Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read back in high school, and it just completely blew my mind after reading that one, because it wasn't what I thought. It just opened up my mind, I guess is a better way to put it. So Rich Dad Poor Dad was a good first one. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to a seasoned person who reads a lot of books, but to somebody who's just starting out, I'd say that's a very good book. And then this is going to be a tough one for number 2. I've got 2 in my mind right now. Also 2 that I resonated with very well. So I think I'm going to go with, can I say both of them, or do I have to make a pick? There we go. Perfect. Okay, so I'll go with number 2 and number 2.5. So number 2, Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins. That book, I think, probably inspired me more than anything else. And what I like about it is just getting your mind mentally primed for a state, whether it's embracing the suck that Chris talked about earlier, because you're going to have days that suck, or if it's trying to kick a habit, or just think positively. I think Unlimited Power does a great job. It's an older Tony Robbins book. And I really think that was, that one kind of got me pretty inspired. The next one that resonates very well with me is The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. I think that him and I have a lot of the similar values and philosophies when it comes to getting things done. And I would recommend 10X Rule as well.
All right. Excellent. 1, 2, and 2.5. Great recommendations. So, Chris, to you, I'll probably be more strict with you. I'm not giving you a 2.5.
Man, it's such a hard question, because people ask me for my book recommendations all the time. I actually have a list that I give them now, and it's always categorized. So it's like, what do you need in your life right now? And I have like a top book for each one of those things. I think that Wade hit on 2 good ones that I'm a huge fan of both of them. So I'll give 2 different ones. My number 1 was an easy one. And for those that know me, know what it is. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That was the book I dedicated to mastering last year. I ended up reading it 17 times. A copy sits by my bedside. I've got it on my Audible. I just think it's something that many of us can always work on is how to interact with, and how to, especially as a leader, your success will always be dependent on those that you are leading and surrounding yourself with, and how you can positively influence them. I think is one of the most challenging things that we have in front of us. And so that would be one I would definitely put at number 1. I'm literally looking at my Audible to make sure I get this right, because I'm looking through all my books here. Oh, man. Number 2, I might get weird on this one. I don't know. Yeah, I think I want to go with number two. Oh, man. Man, it is. So I do. I have so many different ones. I wanted to go in a different direction, but You know, I'm going to go with the one I was initially thinking, and it was similar to what Wade did for his number two. The Power of Ambition by Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn was actually the one that kind of made a huge impact on my thinking. So it's really anything by him, any of his talks. But he was kind of the OG, if you will, to a lot of today's Tony Robbins and speakers that we listen to. And I think that anytime I recommend a book, I always have to go to a classic, something that's time tested. Pretty much anything by him falls under that category. But if you want my full list, email me and I'll send you the categorized list.
And I think we're working on putting something up on attainanything.com for both of ours. And to Chris's point, it really does depend on what you're trying to work on or what your goal is or what your motive is for reading, because, you know, I recommend those books as, I guess, starting points for motivation and inspiration. But if we were talking about for marketing, or if we were talking about for managing or something, I would have completely different answers for you. Mm-hmm.
I do think, Matt, if I can jump in, the first book that I recommend, because this is your audience, for every affiliate owner, is The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. I think it paints a strong picture of why a lot of people get into the business, and then what happens, going back to our conversation before, is that oh shit moment of like, now I'm a business owner, now what? And so that's the one I would say specifically for the audience for business ownership.
Could not agree more. I think that CrossFit affiliates all over the place are full of technicians. That doesn't mean you have to be a technician the rest of your life, but at a certain point, you would need to move on to the entrepreneurial role. Well, I wasn't going to ask you guys this question, but because that last question was so difficult, I'm going to stick you with another hardball. Here are the rules. You're only allowed two people. These people may not be relatives, spouses, the standard, I'd like to thank my mom and dad and my wife kind of thing. But I want two people that have had the greatest influence on you. One of those people has to be a person you've had direct contact with, either over the phone, that you've interviewed with, that you have a actual relationship with. The second of these two people may be an historic figure. It may be a current figure like a Tony Robbins or a Michael Gerber, those kinds of things. So you're allowed two people. One of them has to be somebody you've had direct contact with, a business mentor, something like that. The other one is either an historic figure or a celebrity, somebody that you haven't had face-to-face or phone conversation with. So Wade, you're on the hot seat first, my man. He's shaking his head at me.
Oh, man, I hate being first for this one. Wow. Trying to think as far as somebody that I know personally, I would say probably my high school baseball coach, Craig Faulkner, if he's listening to this. He was probably one of the most influential people in my very developing high school years. He was kind of a hard-nosed, old-school, Southern-style baseball coach that was all about hard work and, from 6 a.m. workouts. And to that point, probably an assistant coach of his, Coach Joe Komorowski. I mean, just the two of them combined, like, are really what instilled a work ethic into me that I still apply to this day with my business. I would say that's probably who I would attribute. In fact, I actually wrote him a letter on Thanksgiving this past year, how thankful I was for a lot of the lessons that he instilled in me in high school that I still apply today in leadership and setting good examples and just working hard, 6 a.m. workouts all the way, to ending at 7 p.m. practices, whatever the case may be. We ended up winning a state championship in high school, and I attribute a lot of the leadership lessons. And he had a whole book of motivational talks that we discovered in our clubhouse of our high school baseball field that he wrote. And he would give us these motivational talks. And at the time, we would kind of make fun of him because some of them were a little bit out there. But at the same time, they taught good lessons, almost in kind of a Jim Rohn-esque style. And maybe he took them from another speaker or somebody. But it was funny when we discovered his binder of Craig Faulkner motivational speeches. But I would say that's to answer your first question. And then the second one, as far as somebody that I haven't necessarily met, that's that's a loaded one. I would say right now I really like reading and listening to and hearing Grant Cardone's story. Love to meet him one day, get on the phone with him one day. Had some Snapchat corresponding and email correspondence with him, but haven't actually had the opportunity to speak with him face to face. I think that just his kind of hard-nosed attitude towards growth and sales and business resonates well with my own values.
Excellent. Nice job on that. So Chris, he's like basking in the fact that he's had more time to think about this. So I'm throwing it to you, Chris. Who are your two people?
Yeah, the first one was easy. I mentioned it on the book. It's Jim Rohn. I think that was the first, first audibles that I started listening to, or the first audios, and that really changed my mindset, and so huge impact on my psyche. The second one, the closer one to me, was definitely the harder one. It's funny that Wade gave that answer, and so I'm actually going to give a different answer, because my mind initially went to a soccer coach, because I learned a lot of lessons about hard work and about those grueling workouts and about giving 100%. But I'm going to go a different direction, because I think that a lot of people on the show could relate. It was the first business mentor that I had when I started the gym, when I started what used to be Body by Boris is now B3 Gym. It was probably after a year in, I was in that oh shit moment. I didn't know how I was paying my bills. I wasn't paying myself. He owned a local martial arts studio. And I don't, to this day, I don't even remember how we got connected. And I met with him on a regular basis, and he essentially helped me to structure my business in a lot of ways that 3-2-1 Go does today. And what I coach other people on is that's really where it started for me. And if I didn't have that first business mentor, I don't know where I would be. His name was Ed. He still owns a local martial arts studio in town, and I don't think I've really thanked him as much as I really should have, because it was very impactful on my future success, because I was a wreck at year one.
I very much appreciate those answers. I have one more question, and I'd like to do a rapid fire question. I know we're bumping up against a time constraint. Is everybody okay for just one more quick one? All right. Let's do this then. All right. So, I've always said that the entrepreneur's strengths can oftentimes be liabilities, and vice versa. I want to explore very quickly with some tangible suggestions you can give to entrepreneurs for what I call the shiny object syndrome. Now, let me frame this like this. Entrepreneurs tend to have different focus levels than the average person. Either they tend to have some attention deficits, or they tend to have hyper-focus. I believe that you need both of those as a strength as an entrepreneur. There are times where you just need to like sit down and write a standard operating procedure uninterrupted for 3 hours and immerse yourself in it. There are other times where you need to have free form, no focus, and dream and think about the possibilities of the world. These are strengths that an entrepreneur must have. These are also liabilities that can show up for the entrepreneur with the shiny object syndrome. Oftentimes you'll see, oh, this gym's doing this. I'm going to go ahead and pivot and start what they're doing. This cool new product came out. I'm going to go ahead and buy this thing, and this software will be the one thing that finally turns my business into the thing that it needs to be. It's a very real struggle for entrepreneurs. So, Wade, to you first, suggestions on dealing with the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah, good question, Matt. That's definitely something that a lot of entrepreneurs deal with. I'd say that making sure that every decision you make is taking you closer to what your end goal is going to be, and then putting a stake in the ground to commit to that, or designing some kind of a system that allows you to commit to that, whether it's building it into your schedule or hanging, you know, a reminder on the wall somewhere or whatever the case may be. I think it is definitely still important to be flexible and to be able to adapt to changes in markets. For us, one of the things I struggled with for a long time was pricing. How do we price our services? And I didn't want to leave money on the table, but I still wanted to be competitive. And that was something when I first started the business, I was afraid to charge a lot of money. So we charged very little money, and like way less than our competitors were charging, but we weren't making good margins at all. And even up until recently, like, it's something I've continually gone back and forth with. There's certain pricing models that our competitors utilize that I'm like, oh, maybe we should do it how they do it. And then I'd say, no, like, maybe we need to do it our own way because we're competing with them and we want to separate ourselves. But ultimately, what we ended up doing is just modeling ourselves after those who had been super successful, and then building a system that helps us to be flexible with our prices. So we designed a different price for every day of the year during our busy season, which, going off of historical data, fluctuates. So that allows us, if we want to make a change, if we're getting super busy on one particular day and we want to up that price, we just have to change it for that one day, instead of having to, you know, tell my entire staff, hey guys, we're changing the prices again, or we're changing the pricing model again. So that's just one example, but I would say it needs, you think about it for a few days before you make any jump decisions. Sleep on it. Think about it when you know your creative juices are flowing the most, rather than when you're exhausted or when you know that it may not be your best decision-making time. And if you keep coming to the same answer each time you think about it each day, maybe it'll take a week or whatever, then that's probably the decision that you need to make. And if it's a huge fundamental change, a lot of times it's going to take longer than if it's, you know, something minor, but sometimes you don't have a long time to make those big changes. So I would just say just make those decisions to follow those shiny objects after, when you're in your prime state to do so, and after you've validated it multiple times, rather than just make a jump decision to do it.
Boom. Wade, that is awesome. Especially awesome for our audience, which I love that you don't know our audience as well as like Chris and I do, but that you just delivered exactly what they need to hear. It's simple. What are the top performers doing? Like, that's what you should look to. What shiny objects do they have? They have mentors. They have, you know, what do they spend money on? What do they pivot to use? And as you were talking about, sit on that decision, confirm your thoughts with your, you know, you've got your stake in the ground. This is what I ultimately want. Confirm those thoughts over several times when you're your clearest mind, not when you're reacting to an undesirable effect that you may be experiencing right now. So, like, A+ on that answer, Wade. That was killer. So, Chris, those are big shoes to fill. I'm going to throw it to you.
Pressure's
on.
Yeah,
man. Yes. How do we deal with the shiny object syndrome?
Yeah. My answer will be a little bit shorter. And this, I can promise you, if you're listening to this podcast, of any stage in your business, you do not need more ideas. You need more action. Period.
Boom. That's it. Couldn't have said it better myself. Clay said something to me when we were in Charleston recently. He goes, you only have to be 1% better to get 100% of the sale. A sale is binary. And
that's right.
That's it. That 1% is not ideas. That 1% is absolutely execution. That is an amazing way to wrap up this series. A huge thank you to Wade Swikel and Chris Marhefka, the co-hosts of Attain Anything. Listeners, you will love the show. So head over there, subscribe on iTunes to the Attain Anything podcast. You can find them online at attainanything.com. You can learn more about what these guys are up to. They're up to a lot. They've got interesting ideas. They're super articulate and they can communicate really the entrepreneurial ethos, for lack of a better term, very coherently. And I think you'll find a lot of value out of what they're doing. So again, Attain Anything Podcast, attainanything.com to keep up with these guys. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show. Wade, you're the man. Thanks for joining us from that cafe. You guys were very generous with your time. Listeners, subscribe on iTunes at 321 Go Podcast. Head over to ratings and reviews. Leave us a review and share it with a friend if you found this fun and or interesting. Gentlemen, until next time.
Matt, thank you so much for having us on the podcast, man. I very much appreciate what you're doing. You're helping a lot of people.
I appreciate that. Wade, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. As a reminder, if you want to join hundreds of other gym owners from all around the world in completing an online marketing course over the next 3 months in our hub platform, we will be teaching you all about marketing. What's even better is you'll be doing it with other people. You'll be inside of our 321 Go think tank. You have the ability to ask questions from experts in social media, paid advertising, content marketing, and marketing strategy. So hop on board with us as we teach you how to market your gym and get more leads in the door over the next 3 months. Your first 7 days in the hub are free. If you want to cancel during those first 7 days, by all means do so. But hop on board, 321goproject.com/hub.